Chapter 10. Incus Maximal, Hyboriax Primus, Check 5, 2021-4502. The Land Raider's Glacis Ramp crashed down into the rubble. Issachar was first out, shredding an orc in thick red body plate with a burst of bolt of fire. Another orc pushed through the girdering that had fallen across a window. He bracketed it with bolt of fire until it dropped. Something pulled the blocking metal aside and lobbed in a grenade. The frag burst shook floor and ceiling, but Issachar barely felt it. Space marines encased in wounded artificer armor and draped in scripture stomped towards windows and doors, weapons blazing. The Land Raider had ridden through the tin wall and disgorged Issachar's honor guard directly into a manufactorum complex attached to Hyboriax Primus. It was a shell, but it was cover, and provided firing lines over the Primus Road and from the back onto the orc bikers flanking on Secundus. The big doors onto Primus came down on their acid-corroded hinges, an orc walker bulldozing through and walking into the atmosphere sphere of tyrant sponson las cannons. The smoking can spouted fire and crashed to the floor. Orc warriors poured in behind the wreck, bellowing and hooting and firing wildly into the air. Tyrant raked them with its glacis-heavy bolters, body parts slapping into puddles of their own liquefied tissue. High-yield mass reactives perforated the walker's gouting shell with hollow thunks and exploded, showering the orc still behind it with boiling shrapnel. Even the tank's commander popped the cupola hatch and added to the outpouring of firepower with its pintle-mounted storm bolter. The honor guard was still laying down thinning fire from the windows, leaving it to Issachar to deal with the Xenos inroad in person. He crushed an orc spine with a blow from his power axe, filled another with a close-range volley that tore it apart. An orc, almost twice his size, waded through the Land Raider's bullet storm. It had a crossed axe branded on a box magazine of a jaw, a lumpen bionic wedged into the crease of one eye. It barged him sideways, and they grappled, servos whining, gears clunking. He was chapter master of the Excoriators. He had served Catafalk as first captain for a century. He had fought the enemies of mankind for nearly 700 years, and the Astronomicon would cease to shine before he would fall at the hands of an orc. He spat Betcher's acid on its chest plate, then slammed his forehead through the dissolving metal. The orc roared in surprise, not pain, and released its grip on his power axe enough for him to molecularly disrupt the brute's skull with force fit to topple a wall. Chapter Vox chattered in his ear the whole time, telling him exactly where and how badly they were being beaten. "Order all forces back to the secondary extraction zone," he voxed calmly, bolt pistol eviscerating the next monster to test its luck against his fury and lose. "I will not sacrifice what little we have left for a test." "Chapter Master!" Orgos made a line for him from Tyrant, where he had been coordinating with air support. "Payload is signaling. They're ready to..." There was a crack, and the Space Marine fell, with a slugger round still embedded in the side of his helm. Issachar snarled and stepped over him. He had lost too many brothers to be moved by one more. Incus Maximal, Mons Primus, Check 5, 2021-5815. Erquinex nipped in smartly behind the orc's back and stabbed it in the side of the neck with a hypodermic. It roared and instinctively tried to bite off his hand, but it was still groggy and snapped a few centimetres shy of his hastily withdrawn digitools. The stormtroopers braced. There had been no way to drill for the actual detonation. All they had to go on was the Zelenic 4 recording, and they looked duly terrified. The orc psycho was growing increasingly lucid. With a furious bellow, it dragged on the chain around its muscular right arm and pulled the stormtrooper holding on to it off his feet. He slid along the floor on his chest carapace, and the orc stamped on his head. "Thrown!" The stormtrooper escort detail cried out in alarm. One drew a las pistol and had singed the orc's chest before Erquidex shouted for him to stop. The orc pounded on its chest with its free arm and grabbed hold of the chains around its left arm and its neck. With a crack of energy discharge, the Sister of Silence severed its arm just below the shoulder. She regarded Erquidex frostily as the Psyker howled. Gore turned the edge of her power blade a fizzing purple. Taking advantage of the orc's momentary distraction, the stormtroopers unclasped the chains from their carapace and started to wind them through the data pews either side of the aisle. Meanwhile, squads Alpha through Delta were firing blindly into the roiling smoke. The Doom Eagle, Vega, fell out of the smog and hit the floor with an orc on top of him. The troopers tattooed it with Laz as it smashed the back of the Space Marine's helmet into the floor. From somewhere, Erquidex could hear the cry of a wolf, the powered whine of a Tech Marine's servo harness. Good. The harder they attacked, the stronger the psychic field would become, the more devastating the explosion. The orc psyker hollered and struggled around towards the Sister of Silence, the source of all its pain. Now! Shouted Erquidex, but the sister was already vanishing into the smoke. Her high gorget hid her mouth, but from the movement of her skin and the shape of her eyes, Erquidex was certain that she smiled. The effect of her departure on the psyker was profound. The orc's eyes took on a glassy inner light. Its shoulders tensed and bulged with swollen musculature. Erquidex had no equipment for the measurement of the uncanny, but he could feel the force that built inside of its skull. It was the pressure in the air that grew in the wake of a storm, the creak of a dam. The Diagnostiad had theorized on forensic analysis of the Zelenic 4 recording that the surge of energy that followed a psychically neutered orc psyker being suddenly exposed to a large group of its kin would have catastrophic results. The stormtroopers felt it coming in the rattling of their chains. They abandoned them and started to run. The orc was free, but it made no move to join the fight. It clapped its remaining hand to its face as if to contain the swelling of its head. Bolts of energy spat from its nose, mouth, ears. The flesh of its forehead stretched as its cranium pushed through. Its skull creaked, split, and then burst open, spraying Erquidex and the fleeing stormtroopers with brain matter and whizzing bone. The shockwave hit Erquidex like a force stave and flung him back up the aisle and into the wall with a wetly organic crack. A numbing flash of excruciation centered somewhere around his upper spine, and he flopped to the floor minus the use of his limbs. His digitools gave a peripheral nervous twitch. Courtesy of a massive opiate dump from his cortical implants, he remained conscious, and quite by chance, in a position that faced down the aisle. The detonated psyker somehow still stood, wobbling on the spot, blood firing upwards in spurts from its splayed open neck. The corpses of the escort squad lay in a psychic blast crater of tangled data pews. Vega was dead, too, insofar as it was possible to make that determination. Erquidex had just noticed him when the orc that straddled him gave a jerk and violently evacuated the contents of its brain pan over a wide area of the floor. The orc slumped over the Space Marine, and Erquidex smiled weakly. A string of wet detonations and splashes of red ran through the smoke. The psychic shock chained through the orcs. Heads exploded, inhuman souls blasted from hulking bodies. An orc mechanic staggered across the aisle, headless, guided on by his mega-armored suit, and crashed through a stained glass window. Acid snow billowed through, pinching out the blooms of promethium fire that rose from the plummeting orc's flamers. Through the open window, Erquidex heard something explode. A suddenly untended incendiary, perhaps. Or did the battle for Hyboriax Primus continue? Inside the Apps Mechanicus, however, the silence was devastating. Erquidex heard a last bolt casing tinkle to the ground. Colonel Rothy's Voxet crackled with distant chatter. Ice Grip clumped through the ruddy smoke and sniffed the air in search of more foes, and then gave a lopsided grin. There were none. Incus Maximal, Orbital, Check 5, 2022-0111. The rare strain of unfettered emotion swept the turreted command stations of Alcazar Remembered. Communications, Orspectori, Drive, men and women in glittering void suits rose from their fortress chairs, beating hands together and cheering. Even the cherubium serfs in their null-shielded podia had fallen, if not quiet, then helplessly in with a general wave of elation. For once in their servile existences, The focus of their songs was not the warp-soothing verses of the Librarius, but the images and accompanying screed that scrolled across the main viewer. "Massive orc casualties," reported Kale, doing his best to keep his tone level and failing. A smile tugged at the corners of his lips, and his hands were clasped a little more tightly than usual behind his back. "Early estimates from ground forces put their losses in the tens of thousands." Another wild cheer broke out. Even the old shipmaster allowed himself a smile. Corlin suppressed the desire to join the celebrations, or relax, and sat forward. They had won nothing yet. "Details, Magos."
"New spheric interlink to Magos Urquidex's data tether established," reported Laurentius tinnily, unmoved by the exuberance of the Tacticae staff around him,
or by the serf who dropped onto her knees to throw a hug around his boxy chassis.
"Stand by."
The Magos scuttled around the Strategium desk, which had been modified to his own specifications. Twitching implementer rods projected a functional new sphere. A control board packed with dials hung lopsided from one end by a bundle of fibre optics and pinged with periodic sampling of said new sphere. Other parts did things that Corlin could not imagine, all under continuous manipulation by Laurentius's mechadendrites.
"My colleague reports partial success. Satisfactory. Reports of fighting in Hyboriax. Uplink from the excoriators and other ground forces remains patchy, but it would appear that the blast effect was restricted to the Mons Primus and its immediate surrounds."
Corlin glanced over to Thane.
"Orbital facilities?"
"Terminator squad's heavily engaged, brother. No effect that I can tell."
"Bring them back aboard," Alcazar remembered, "and then destroy those platforms. Send retrieval boats for Issachar's force. I want helmet feeds compiled and supplied to Asgard and Laurentius at once. Discontinue the blanket denial broadcast and begin ordering the fleet for immediate translation out."
"Aye, Lord."
The communications liaison serf slid her headphones back over her ears and sat back down, even as her station colleagues continued to celebrate.
"I was hoping for more," Corlin muttered.
"I will have to confer with Magos Urquidex and analyze the data gathered from the ground forces," said Laurentius. "Lord Tyris and any surviving members of the insertion will also need to be thoroughly interrogated. The Psyker was the smallest and weakest of the three, however. That was why it was selected for a trial detonation. It is possible that further calibration of an admittedly improvised detonation procedure could result in improved blast yields."
"That is what I want, Magos. It is what I need. More and better. I want to scour worlds. I want to ravage fleets. Do you understand me?"
"I will commence data inload at once."
"I look forward to your preliminary report."
Corlin turned to the communications turret.
"Has the denial broadcast dissipated?"
"Almost, Lord."
"Then send word to the astropaths to make contact with Beaumond and Euclideus. It is time for the final test."